Now, I don't know what type of magic they're performing out there in St. Petersburg, Russia, but everyone seems to love JetBrains. In an industry where open source IDEs abound, software developers who are notoriously stingy with regards to what they'll spend their money upon, especially if an open source alternative exists, well, those developers are more than willing to hand over their hard-earned cash for tools like RubyMine and IntelliJ. But IDEs themselves are the things that JetBrains is most famous for, so it was a bit of a surprise to find out that their latest and greatest project is a new JVM programming language called Kotlin. So we wanted to find out why the world needs another JVM programming language. So we called up JetBrains and we got Andrei Breslav on the phone. So Andrei, how did JetBrains get into the game of developing a brand new JVM language?
So the story is that 5-6 years back, we at JetBrains were evaluating possible languages to migrate our own development to. And at that time, there was Scala, there was Groovy, and the JVM, that was pretty much it. And we had our own set of constraints, which we believe are actually shared among many other companies too. So the constraints are basically that we need the language to be statically typed, because for huge code bases, you need the static typing to be able to reason about them. Then we need to be toolable, if it's the word in English. So we need to be able to provide really good tooling for a language, and it sometimes depends a lot on the language design. Some things are just not possible to implement efficiently in the IDE. Then another requirement would be to, for it to be like learnable, or what I call a democratic language, where you don't restrict members of your team to using only a subset of language, so anyone can use any feature. So there isn't a guideline saying, okay, these features only library writers touch, and those are for everybody else. So we're trying to have our process quote, democratic in this sense, so that all the team is using the whole language.
Now, what exactly is it you mean when you talk about how democratic a language is? So, would you say Scala is a democratic language? Would you say Java is a democratic language?
I would say Java is pretty democratic, actually. Scala is a little bit less. So, for example, speaking of newer features, macros are definitely not for everyone. And more advanced parts of the type system are actually, well, it depends on what kind of style you're writing in, but there is a pretty widely acknowledged idea of restricting yourself to some more approachable subset of Scala. And the same happens to C++, for example. There are huge guideline documents about what parts of C++ we're using and not using in this project, and it's widely believed that the whole of C++ shouldn't be used at any one time altogether. This is something we were trying to avoid. But it doesn't happen in Java, and I believe it doesn't happen in Kotlin.
So, sorry, I think I interrupted you there. What did you say that was the other motivating factor for developing the Kotlin programming language?
Okay, so in the, there is the fourth requirement. We wanted it to be interoperable in the sense that we already have a huge Java code base, so we wanted to gradually introduce a new language, not rewrite everything in a new language, but just add new bits in it and maybe migrate older bits as we want to. So the interoperability constraint is very big with us. Yeah, so if you take all four together, our mates on the JVM, other languages, don't quite fit. I'm not saying that everybody needs those constraints. It's our setting, and we believe that many other people share the same setting, but there are many other projects that don't. So for them, for example, Scala, Groovy will work very well. For us, they don't. So we saw that there is a space for a language that would fit into those four constraints, so we started working on it.
So how do you see people using Kotlin? Is this a programming language that they will use to just sort of supplement what they're already doing with Java? So, for example, just dealing with a specific problem like concurrency or multi-threading. Do you see this as a programming language that people will use for green projects, so it's something that you use from the ground up? Or does it fall somewhere in between a full programming language and a domain-specific language?
Kotlin is not a domain-specific language that only some code should be written in Kotlin and the rest should be in Java. No, we historically have a lot of Java already, we and other people, so it makes no sense rewriting it all in Kotlin. So if we are starting from scratch, it makes perfect sense to start in Kotlin and do it end-to-end in Kotlin. But if you have historically a Java code base, you can introduce Kotlin into it and have the newer parts in a more comfortable, more pretty language.
So in what type of situations would organizations benefit the most by using a programming language like Kotlin?
Those areas would be places where people are suffering from Java the most, obviously. And so it's where the business logic is complex, where you need where code reuse matters a lot. Like if you have some complex data processing where you need to reuse many things in many places, levels of abstraction matter. When you care about type safety, when again you have complex code, the type system matters and Kotlin will contribute there. If you are, say, on Android and you're stuck with Java 6, you don't have even lambdas, there Kotlin is an excellent match for you because it gives you all that and worse than Android. So again, it's if Java works well for you, you don't need to change it for anything else. If you feel that Java is limiting you, that it's too old a language or whatever, or too verbose a language, then Kotlin is for you.
Now, you just mentioned Android. How does Kotlin factor into the world of smartphone and embedded device development?
So one thing I've mentioned already is just that Android, the runtime is a little bit behind compared to what server-side people have, because the runtime only supports Java 6, that's limited in terms of language features. But otherwise, on handheld devices, we have a lot of the user interface, graphical user interface, and there Kotlin offers very nice features in terms of DSL builders for UI. So you can construct dynamic UIs with type-safe builders, and basically it means that you have in the code what you used to have in XML or somewhere else in the way you can control it. So sometimes you don't really need it because your UI is very simple, but if it's dynamic, if it's complex, it may make a lot of sense to use DSL to construct such UIs. So that's one example. Then, as anywhere else, there are many APIs that are a lot nicer in Kotlin than in Java. So there we provide a bunch of very thin-layered, actually, wrapper libraries that make the experience a lot smoother. Again, with tiny DSL-ish features here and there, the code gets a lot more concise and a lot more clear.
So what does Kotlin offer in terms of web-based UI development?
So first thing is, again, for web applications, the same builder DSLs are very relevant because instead of using it templating language on the side, you can in Kotlin you can use the language features to have type-safe, well-composable pieces of UI on the server side. And the same thing can be compiled to the client side. So if you want to render your UI in the browser instead of rendering it on the server, you can do it. So Kotlin has currently released only the JVM backend, but in the experimental mode, we are running a JavaScript backend that compiles the same kind of code to JavaScript and can run it in the browser. So when we finish that, which should be not very far away, not giving any deadlines yet, but still, that will be another degree of freedom when you can basically write the whole application end-to-end in the same language and compile parts of it for the server, parts of it for the client, and the UI may be rendered on either side. And again, it's statically typed and reusable in components likewise. So that's the big thing.
So how do software developers get started with Kotlin?
So as the best ways get started is on the website we have a bunch of learning materials, And there is a web-based mini IDE that you can simply in the browser write pieces of Kotlin code. There is a set of exercises that we call koans that you can just complete one by one, and they're automatically checked, so you can gradually introduce yourself to different parts of the language. I completed them myself, and they're pretty nice, actually.
The world of peripheral programming languages for the JVM is a pretty competitive space. So how will Kotlin be received? Only the future will tell. But if the love the industry has for tools like IntelliJ and RubyMine are any indication, we'll probably be seeing people programming in the Kotlin language for many, many years to come.